Okay, we're. I turn to Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. So, in Brachos, we've been discussing for quite a while what the requirements are for challah, and almost identically, almost but not entirely, identically to for the halachas of Berachas Hamotzi. So there were two psukim in the Torah. We started out with the Torah. One is with reference to the chiyuv of challah, reishis, arisa sechem, tarimu lechem lad Hashem. So we see that the definition of lechem in the Torah is related to arisa sechem, to isa. That's one thing that we see from the pasuk in Shlach. Then we had the pasuk in the Chukosai, in the Tochacha, v'afu eser nashim eslach mechem betanur echad. So there we see also lechem, but we see that the Torah seems to link tanur, the requirement of tanur. So, very simply, we would come to the conclusion that there's two requirements for lechem, and we're discussing hamotzi right now. And what is that? Isa from Shlach, and tanur from Bichu Kosai. And in fact, that's pretty straightforward. Everyone would agree that if I have an Isa, and Isa is a blila kasha, a blila ova, okay, a dough, and I bake it in a tanur, I've got hamotzi, I've got lechem, okay, without any problems. Kuli alma lo plige. Now, what happens, though, if I have only one of the two requirements? So let's say that I have Isa, I have a blila ova, I have a dough, but I don't have tanur. It's boiled, okay? Or all the other things we went to, masay ilpes, or even a technical, masay chama. Okay, he bakes it in the sun, and we know that that's not called a fiyah, that's not derech hafiyah. What will be the din then? So, most of the Rishonim, and we saw it first in the Rash, in the Seches Chala, the Rabbeinu Shimshon, but a lot of the other Rishonim as well, hold that is not sufficient, that you do need both requirements to make a motzi. We saw a very interesting sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds that one of the two requirements is enough, meaning one of the two psukim. If you have Isa, you have Blila Ava, okay, you don't need Tanur. It's enough to have one or the other. And according to that, you could have a very extreme, a radical position of Rabbeinu Tam, that on lakshin, on noodles is bli lava. So you have Isa of Parsha Shlach. And on Achinami, you don't have Tanur of Parsha's Bichu Kosai. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you don't need Tanur. It's boiled. You boil the noodles. You'd have to make a hamotzi on noodles. And we saw in Tosis, Rabbeinu Tam was mistapek in his youth. Is that the din or is not the din? But Rabbeinu Tam does hold, okay, that one of the two requirements of the two psukim is sufficient. Now, some will say that even in Rabbeinu Tam's shita, noodles, even if you hold that it's enough to have blila ava, and then it's processed through something other than tanur, but noodles are still missing another requirement that we didn't mention in either the two psukim. And that is what? Tzuras hapas, tarisa denahama. Okay, and we talked about that a little bit last week. The shape of bread, it's not only the shape, but its characteristics, its traits, and so on. So noodles does not have tohar lechem. So even if you accept Rabbeinu Tam that you only need one of the two, you still possibly would not. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, I hope in the next 2 weeks or so we'll actually do the Shulchan Aruch. You see, the Shulchan Aruch brings down Rabbeinu Tam's Shita, but we don't go as far as to say that on noodles, the Ramah is going to say that even on noodles, even according to those who are machmir for the Rabbeinu Tam's Shita, and that is a chumrah, that you'd have to, you know, make a motzi even on things that are only blila ava without tanur. Can we think of something else? I mean, there must be other examples. Obviously, What's a blila ava that's spoiled besides noodles? What else?
You make
krepla. Krepla, right. A lot of these krepla. Correct. They're boiled, right.
Boiled
krepla, exactly. Okay? So you'll see.
It looks almost like a bread.
So there's also a discussion, and they use the word krepla. The Rama uses the word krepla. Okay? It's the Polish word, maybe. Rama was in Poland, right? Czechoslovakia. Okay. So, kreplach may have tohar lechem. So then, according to Rabbeinu Tam, especially if you want to be machmir like the Rabbeinu Tam, kreplach has isa from Parshas Shlach. Doesn't have tanur, but you don't need tanur from the chukosai. And it has tzura sapas. So you might have to make a motzi on that.
Because that has peeling in it. Doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. We will get to that. We will get to that. The filling is a whole big issue also. We will get to that. All right. So we've had a number of Gemaras. You know, we started with the Mishnayos, the Mishnah in Challah, where we talk about the permutations of Sufganim and Isa, right? What was it? Philoso Isa Sofa Sufganim. And the Mishnah there said that there were three situations with a Chiyuv Challah, and we could conclude it would be a Chiyuv of Hamotzi. So what were they? Philoso Isa, the Sofo Isa. So that's the straightforward case, right? Let's look at it right here. If you look at the Tosas on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the last Tosas, Lechem Asui Lekutach, the fourth line, quotes that Mishnah in Challah. So Kol Shetchilaso Isa. Okay, so the case that I just mentioned is not relevant to Tosas, so let's just say it outside again. Tchilaso Isa and Sofo Isa. What does that mean, Tchilaso Isa? So the normal way you would think about it is that it's talking about the fact that you start off with a blila ava and then you put it into a tanur. Okay? So there's the chiyuv challah, and you would make a hamotzi. But now you have, continuing in Tosas, quoting from the Mishnah, you have kol shetchilaso isa v'sofo sufganim chayovim b'challah. Now, this is tchilaso isa, but sofo sufganim would be the case where it starts out as a blila ava, but then it's boiled. And yet we see that there's a chiyuv challah. Now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, this fits in very well. Because Rabbeinu Tam, this Mishnah was one of the primary things that pushed Rabbeinu Tam to his Shita. It's talking about the process. So, tchilaso isa, the blila ava, sofa sufganim is bishul, okay, or masei chama. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't care. He says, chayovim b'challah, and you would make a motzi. This is a big riot to Rabbeinu Tam. And similarly, the Mishnah continues. Bechol shetchilaso sufganim v'sofo isa. The reverse is also true. Let's say it starts off as sufganim, a belila raka, but then it goes into a tanur. So take, sponge cake. Let's assume for right now, I'm not sure if we're going to conclude that the Messias is like that, but all my life I've assumed it. For right now, let's assume it. That sponge cake is bilaso raka. It's more like a batter, okay? Surely not like a dough. So it's tchilaso sufganim, but what is it? Sofo isa. It goes into the tanur. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you only need one of the two. Here you have the other side. You have Sofo Isa, you can have only Tanur. You'll have Tanur, but you won't have Isa, right? What does the Mishnah Challah say? Chayavim b'challah. You would make a motzi. So again here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, one or the other is enough. So here, it's enough just to have Tanur, even though you don't have dough. A batter plus Tanur, the Mishnah tells us, is a Chiyav Challah. So both of these cases that we just read seem to be a very strong riot to Rabbeinu Tam. And then finally, Sufganim patur min achala. The one case of the four cases mentioned in the Mishnah that's patur from challah is when you have neither. You have neither tanur nor isa. That's tchilasa sufganim, sofa sufganim. So let's say you take the batter from a sponge cake and, I don't know, you deep fry it. Okay? You deep fry it. That you definitely wouldn't make a motzi on. There would be no chi of challah on. So the way we just learned the Mishnah fits into Rabbeinu Tam very well, right? If you have one or the other, it's enough. If you have neither, then it's no good. And if you have both, it's a kol shekein that it is good. I just told you most Rishonim don't agree with Rabbeinu Tam. Most Rishonim hold you need both. So how do they learn this Mishnah here? The two middle cases where you only have one or the other. Okay? Right. So they introduce an idea that we learned from our Gemara here, that intention comes into play. So let's read. You know what it means, what the Mishnah means? Kol shetchilaso isa. The entire Mishnah is talking about blila ava. It's talking about those. So what's chilaso isa? What's the lashon isa? His intent when he needs this dough and he's megalgel and he's lush the dough, his intention is chilaso isa. He has in mind to put this into a tanur. But what happens? Sofa sufganim. And we gave the case. He's in the bakery. He starts kneading and lushing this, right? To put it into a tanur, chilaso isa. He's ready now to put it into a tanur. They come running into the back. We ran out of something that has to be boiled now, right? So they tell him, don't put it in the tanur, boil it. Sofo sufganim. So his intention started out for isa, meaning tanur, but it ended up, he boiled it. The din is chayav. And challah. And challah. And in hamotzi. So that's, well, leave out the motzi for a second. Yechayav and challah. That's how the other Rishonim will learn this Mishnah. So these two cases in the Mishnah are an issue of intent. What this allows the other Rishonim to do is to maintain their shita that you really need both Isa and Tanur. And they don't have to deal with this Mishnah. Okay? I want to do one more Gemara here that all the Rishonim have to deal with, and let's see who it fits into here, Rabbeinu Tam or the other Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam, that one or the other is enough, or the other Rishonim that you need both. So if you look on Lamed Zayin, Amid Beis, right about in the middle, right smack in the middle of the Daf, the asterisk, the Sanya, right opposite the Tosa Soma Rava. So right in the middle of the sugya, but here's the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a brisa from Maseches Munachos. Haya Omeid u'makriv Munachos v'Yerushalayim. So what was a Karban Mincha? A Karban Mincha is very relevant to what we've been learning. Karban Mincha, the ingredients is flour, soles, kemach, and shemen. There's a liquid. Okay? So first is a Gilgal process. There's a Lisha process. And then, what do they do with it? Well, you may remember there are four kinds of karbonos mincha. So what are they? One is soles psisim, where you really, after the kneading and everything, you just break it into pieces. Okay? Phonetically, psisim fits in with the pieces. I don't know if there's any more relationship than just a phonetic relationship. So that's one din. Okay, that's one kind of mincha. A second mincha is a mafe tanur. Pretty straightforward. I'm making matzah, right? Remember, all the munachos are matzah. And don't get confused. You know, matzah, you can have thick matzahs. You know, the Gemaras talk about in Europe. Matzah ova, you're allowed to make a matzah ova. The lechem haponim, the showbread, right, were shaped. They were matzah. They did not rise. So, you know, we many times think that matzah, which doesn't rise, doesn't become chametz, must be flat. That's not true. Don't ask me how they make it, but you can have a lechem haponim that's matzah that doesn't rise. Okay? So, mafe tanur, obviously, it's going into the tanur. So that's pretty straightforward. Then you have, not in a tanur, but machvas, alha machvas. What's machvas? The third kind of mincha, a pan. And machvas is usually a shallow pan. And then the fourth kind, and it's going to be the most problematic for most Rishonim, is a marcheshes. What's a marcheshes? A deeper pan. I think Rashi and Chumash, in fact, explains marcheshes from the Lashon rochashim. You know, it like bounces because it's already a deeper pan, so there's more shemen in there. So it's, what should I say, springy, okay? So those are the four kinds of menachas. So what does the Brisa say? How you omer umakrif menachas b'sholayim, omer baruch shecheyanu v'kimonu v'yonu lezman hazeh. Okay, first of all, you make a shecheyanu when you're during the process of preparing the menachos.
Is that all kabanas or just menachos?
That's a good question. It's a good question. We're not learning about the Shecheyanu here. Why do you make a Shecheyanu?
The assumption put on here, it says for the privilege of performing a mitzvah that he has not performed for a long time.
Ah, so where do how what is a long? How frequently do you not have to do a mitzvah in order to say a Shecheyanu? So most mitzvahs we do annually. But the truth of the matter is, it's less than that. And we learn out from where, what is it, do you remember?
I know it's 30 days.
No, it's not. It's more than 30 days. We learn out from the Kohanim who would go up to the Mishmaros. When they would go up to their Mishmar, they would say a Shecheyanu. Okay? How frequently did Kohanim go up to the Beis HaMikdash? Twice a year. There were 24 Mishmaros to do the calculations. And the Regalim, everybody worked, right? All the Kohanim went up. So and from there we learn out that twice a year, I guess it's 6 months. So if you do something and 6 months have elapsed, the mitzvah, you make a Shecheyanu. That's why they throw in here. The assumption is you don't show up in the Beis HaMikdash every day to be makriv karbanos. But tak, if somebody comes back 30 days later for the same karbon, maybe he's not making a Shecheyanu. So the assumption here is that it's at least a 6 month period that has elapsed. But you know, again, what would be the difference between a karbon mincha and any karbon? So lechori you would make it in the other karbonos. Lechori you would. It's like any other mitzvah. Like any other mitzvah. Well, so that's already you have to think about it. We don't make a Shecheyanu at a bris, Tzar Diyunuka. You don't make a Shecheyanu on Sfiras HaOmer. So Taka there, they do point out to some sad nature, but that's not in the Torah. You don't, Sfiras HaOmer is not a sad nature. There's no simcha. It has to be some, maybe it has to go with the completion. What are some other mitzvahs you don't make a Shecheyanu on? Bedikas Chametz you don't make a Shecheyanu on. I don't know. Meisota already is a different. That's not. See, because we're not learning Shecheyanu. Chatas and Asham is kapara. So, you know. But there you're making the Kedushas Hayom. Right, you're making the Kedushas Hayom. But, right, Kedushas Hayom of kapara. Okay, something to think about. But what's relevant to us is, and maybe that's why the Brisa talks about Menachos only, because really is talking about Birchas Hanenin as well as it continues. Natlan la'achlan mevarech hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Now if you eat the karbon mincha, okay, now, but you know, not every karbon mincha is, many are eaten only by the Kohanim, maybe all of them are eaten by the Kohanim. I don't think there's any karbon mincha that's eaten by Yisrael. But some are Nisrafim Kalil, right? A minchas chote, for example, is Nisraf Kalil. So what do we see here, though, that's very relevant? You make a hamotzi on all four of the menachos that we just elaborated on. So now let's look at it from our perspective. The mafei tanur, no problem, okay? The machvas, okay? It's a shallow pan. So, by the way, the assumption is that this is all blila ova, okay? You're starting out with a quote dough, all right? like a matzah. Think of it, you know, it's like a, not like the dough that you have in the pizza shop, you know, so thick, but like when they make the matzah, you know, thin, right? It hangs down, but that's a blila ova, right? That's what we have here. So you put that in a machvas. So we had the machlokas of Yochanan Rish Lakish in the Yerushalmi, went through it a number of times. So this taka, they ask on Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish says the only time you're chayav and challah, and hence hamotzi, is by a tanur. If you have a pan with the fire underneath it, like our typical stovetop, Rish Lakish says not good enough if the fire is underneath. So Rish Lakish has a problem with machvas. But Rabbi Yochanan says that's good, that's like tanur. And we already went, why is this like tanur? Because even though you put some shemen on the machvas, it's put there not as a medium of cooking, okay, but just put there shalom nisraf, so it'll grease the pan and you won't burn what you're putting in there. So machvas is not a problem either. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's equivalent to tanur. But the biggest problem now comes, and by the way, this works out now, so even according to the other Rishonim, you've got both Blila Ova here and Tanur, or the equivalent of Tanur. But now you come to Mar Cheshes, the deep pan, right? So this is a big riot for Rabbeinu Tam again, because on the surface, what would you say Mar Cheshes is? Mar Cheshes is not Tanur. One thing Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan said, Machvas, there's very little bit of shemen, right? So it's equivalent to tanur. Mar Cheshes does not seem to be equivalent to tanur. And the Braisa says, so if it's deep fried, we'd have a very big problem. But that's going to be the answer. One second. But the Braisa said, hey, you make a motzi and all the benachos, including Mar Cheshes. Big riot to Rabbeinu Tam. And the other Rishonim now who say that you need both. You need the Esau from Parshas Shlach, and you need the Tanur, or the equivalent of Tanur, of Parshas Bechukosai. How am I making Hamotzi on a Minchas Mar Cheshes? So the only way they get out of it is they say, yes, Mar Cheshes has more Shemen than Machvas, but conceptually it's the same thing, meaning it is equivalent to Tanur. The only time that's not going to be tanur in a pan is like deep fry. When you deep fry something, okay, the shemen there is not to avoid burning what you're cooking.
The shemen is the cooking.
Exactly. The shemen, it's no different than boiling. When you're boiling something, the medium of the cooking is the liquid. That's what the shemen is in deep fry. Even in a Mar Cheshes, the shemen is not the medium of the cooking, even though there is more shemen than in a machvas. So that's how the other Rishonim get out of it. How they're able to maintain their shita that you need both things. Okay? All right. So we did also last week, just to remind you, you mentioned Kuba Da'ara, which was Guvla Ba'alma, right? And so we learned last week also, let's read it quickly, look at Lamed Ches Amud Aleph on the top. First line, Omele Abayel Rav Yosef, Hai Kuba Da'ara, Mai Mevarchen Alai. What are you, this Kuba Da'ara, which Herb mentioned, they used to make a hole, let's say in the ground, and they would put the dough in there, and then they would cook it. So Omele Misfars Namahu, so Rav Yosef answered, the fact that you, Abaya, asking me this question means that you're assuming that maybe this is lechem. And Rabbi Yosef answers, it's guvla bi'almahu u'mevarchin alei borei mine mezonos. So the pshat here is, it's guvla ba'alma, and how did we explain guvla bi'alma? We said the beginning process, is it really blila ava? It may not even be blila ava. If it's not blila ava, then that's why you're only making a bore mina mezonos. It's guvla bi'alma. It's like a blila raka, and you would only make a bore mina mezonos. But you remember we read the Rambam last week. That's not how the Rambam learned this. The Rambam said that the chisaron here was tzuras apas, not because of Blila Raka. So there are different ways. There are different ways of learning this. But this here, this brings us to the one area that we really haven't discussed. What if you have the sponge cake problem? If you have Blila Raka, and then you have Tanur. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, we said one is enough. But what about according to the other Rishonim? Most of the other Rishonim, that we really seem to paskan like. According to the other Rishonim, if you have Blila Raka and you have Tanur, that's not enough. That is not enough.
You don't have the intention, and you don't have the Turas HaPas.
Well, you can't say you don't have Turas HaPas, because sponge cake, what do you mean it doesn't have Turas?
It doesn't look like bread.
Slice it exactly like bread. Many cakes, you slice exactly like bread. Exactly like bread. You can make it.
The question is the fact that it has eggs and all kinds. They say, keep on talking about sponge cake.
Okay, right. It does have.
It's not an egg. I don't think it talks about that kind of.
You're right.
It's
so therefore,
soft batter, or else.
Right. The sponge cake. We're not ready for sponge cake. That's true.
Pancake.
No, pancake also has other ingredients.
Yes.
What's the Blila Raka? Can you think of the Blila Raka?
But doesn't have
other ingredients.
Without yeast, they just dough.
No, but that doesn't have other ingredients like sugar and shemen. What else do we make with the Blila Raka and then we put in a tanur that doesn't have all of these things? You see, the Gemara talks about lachmaniyos. In modern Hebrew, lachmaniyos are rolls, but lachmaniyos were other things. No, that's bread. That's bread.
Tell me what knuckle is.
What's knuckling?
That's made of potato starch.
Oh, you mean not knuckle?
Yeah. Like noodles, which you put in boiling
water. Yeah, potato
water.
Starch.
From potato starch, put in boiling water. That's the real
knuckle. Yeah, but don't they? Cause there's another name for it. The restaurants, it's a fancy thing.
No, that's not.
No.
Biscuits are the same. Because you put bread on it, but it's the same made out of potato starch.
Yeah. Anyway, can you think though of something? You're right. They have to think of a Blila Raka that doesn't have other ingredients in it.
That
just says Mayim and Kemach. What's a Blila Raka with Mayim and Kemach? They used to make things like that, so we don't. Blila Raka that you put in an oven. Okay, so let's think about it theoretically. If you until we come up with an example. Well, what bracha would you make on that? What bracha would you make on that? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you would make a motzi, because you have tanur. According to the other Rishonim, you need both. You would make only a borei mina mizonos. You would only make a borei mina mizonos. Except for what? If you were koveya suda, even according to the other Rishonim, then you would make a motzi.
So you have a pasta dinner, kovei suda on the pasta dinner?
Pasta is boiled. Pasta is blila ava that's boiled. We're looking for and also pasta may not have tzuras hapas.
But
you didn't
say that. The kovei suda, when it says kovei suda, they say, well, you have to have tzuras hapas.
No, so the Rambam learned out from here. That was the chisaron in Gurla B'Alma, that there was no tzuras hapas. That's where he learned it out from. But we're talking about where you have Blila Raka and you have Tanur. So you have Blila Raka and you have Tanur. According to the other Rishonim, you'd only make a borei mina mizonos. Except if you koveya suda. Now, all the things that we mentioned so far, we didn't mention tonight, another way. It's very important for Hamotzi where it diverges, especially from Chala. And that was again based on the pasuk of Lechem Levav Enosh Yisod. So you didn't hear that. That's the Chashivus of Hamotzi. That's what we said in our Mishnah, that Hamotzi, Chazal would convey a special bracha on Pas because it's Soed. And Soed means not just that it's Zon. You know, for Bar Mina Mizonos, you need something that's filling. That's what zon means. So if something is filling, you make a borei mina mizonos. That's why the chamesh haminim and probably orez also, rice also, is filling. That's why, you know, orez is separate from the chamesh saminim, because some disagree. Well, what's the disagreement about orez? It may not be as filling. Go tell the people in Asia that, you know, that's their mater lechem. So I'll leave it to the nutritionist to tell me the real, maybe you have to eat more orez than buckwheat, than wheat. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. But that's the issue about chameshes haminim and orez. Orez is not necessarily part of the chameshes haminim. Okay? For orez, right? That's in fact, right. Even if you make a mezonos, you don't make an ala michi at the end.
That's correct.
Because it may not, so anyway, zon is for mezonos, that it's filling. But for lechem, for hamotzi, you need more than filling. You need so'ed. What's so'ed? Se'uda? It satiates. It's soveya, v'yachalta, v'savata, v'verachta. That's what you need for lechem. So that's the point here. Even the other Rishonim would say you need both tanur and blila ava. So if you have blila raka and tanur, you don't make a motzi. But if you kaveya suda, then what are you doing? You are being soed. You're soveya from this. Okay? So if you're soveya from this, even they will agree that you make a motzi. Alright? Alright. We have a few minutes, so we can actually, what we have to do, we have one more thing here, and then we can actually go through halacha lemaisa, a lot of things like pizza, like kreplach, why am I forgetting again now, what in Dunkin' Donuts they like the sandwiches, croissants, what about the story with croissants? And I spoke to Butterflake today, you should know. We're going to get a mutually convenient date when we can take a field trip to Butterflake. You didn't know that. And I don't know about tasting, but I want to see how these things are made. I want to see how these things are actually made in the back. Understand this finally. So we have one more very important thing to do, and that's Pas Habar B'Kisnin. So what is Pas Habar B'Kisnin? There's a three-way machlokas in the Rishonim on what Pas Habar B'Kisnin is. And we paskin like all three shitos. Now just from the Lashon, Pas, you know right away, it is bread. So in what sense is it bread? It's Blila Ava. And I'm 99.9% sure of that. One thing that's throwing me off a little bit here also, all my, at least for the last 40 years of my life, that's what I always understood, and something was confusing me, somebody confused me, but I think it's correct that all the different cases of Pas Habar B'Kisnin that we're going to go through, they start out as Blila Ava, and that's why it's called Pas. So if it's called Pas, what's the problem? Why all of a sudden do we not treat it like Pas, that we make a motzi, until it's Yadayim, Virchas HaMazon? Why?
What do you do to it?
Well, it, you'll see, it's not the process. It's not what we did to it, it's what we added to it. Pas Habar B'Kisnin is different than Pas because of the ingredients. So the first definition is Pas She'asui Kamin Kisim. Kisnin from the Lashon Kis, pockets. She'mimal'im Osom Dvash Osukar Ve'egozim Ushkedim Ve'tavlim Ve'hem Hanekroim Rishkalish and Rilachish. Okay, anyway, what is this? Fillings. We can think of many examples that we have. Apple pie. Pies. What are pies? Kisim. You fill them up. Or egozim and...
Start pasta.
You have the dough. What are you talking about? You start...
Basic pasta is really a pita bread cut up and you sort of put the food in.
No. So no. So there... No.
Different.
Here...
Here,
it becomes pas. In other words, it goes, you have raw dough. That's very important because your case is different.
You're right.
You have raw dough that go in apple pie, even though I just checked with my wife before the shear. You buy the pie crusts and they do put them in the oven sometimes a little bit first by themselves. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. However, the pie crusts already have in them other ingredients. They're not just flour and water.
Margarine
and sugar. You follow? So that's not a chisaron. But it's the point here, and we have to emphasize it again. At the time that it becomes pas in the tanur, it has all these other ingredients. Right, with it or in it. It doesn't become pas by itself, because if you would first make pas, and there are examples like that, I mean, we'll get into pizza in depth, okay? But for example, frozen pizza, I haven't checked this for 20 years, but frozen pizza, first they make the dough separately. Okay? I guess because, you know, if they put in the tomato sauce and all of that, how long, you know, you can't put it in and then freeze it. So I think the tomato sauce and that is actually raw. Okay? It's the dough portion is to some degree already baked. So that's a problem. Frozen pizza is not the din of pizza that we have when we buy fresh baked pizza. You have to say hamotzi on frozen pizza. Again, if the metzias that I'm telling you exists still, right? Why? Because at the time it went into the tanur, it was just bread. Then you added other things to it, and you put it into a tanur a second time. That's a different halacha. In order to remove the shem lechem, once the shem lechem is there, is a different halacha. That we'll get to also. That's Pesach, you know. On Pesach, we are all, because on Pesach, you don't make things with plain flour because of the chametz issues. You use matzah farfel, or use whole matzahs for matzah brai, or for matzah pancakes, right? So the whole issues with what you have to make a motzi on Pesach is you're starting out with bread, I mean matzah. What removes the shem lechem? That's a whole different question. So again, in frozen pizza, it becomes pas by itself. It's a hamotzi. No question about it. So coming back here, at the time that it goes into the tanur, it has all these fillings. And that we're very, very familiar with examples of that. First definition of pasabob kismen. Second definition. Yesh omrim shehi isa. She'irev ba dvash or shemen or chalav or minei tavlim v'afar. So how is this different in the first case? This is like the pie crust. If I really just pie crust, it's not where. Excuse me. I have fillings like apples and nuts and almonds. This is where in the dough itself I put in dvash and all of these things. Okay. What are examples of that? I guess the cookies. All the different cookies we have, right? Chocolate chips, right? That's not fillings, but that's where you put things into the dough. You mix it into the dough. Now, here's a very big qualifier. Vehu sheyiye tam taroves hamei peros o hatavlim nikur be'isa. How much, you know, of these other ingredients, how much sugar, how much honey or milk, do you have to put in order for it to have a din of pasabob bekisnan? So, according to, I'm reading the Mechaber here, as long as the tam is there, it can be 40%. In other words, less than 50%, and according to the Mechaber, it'll still have the din of pasabob bekisnan. We don't paskin like that. The Ramah says, v'yeshorim shezeh nikra pasgomer. If it's only 40% sugar, because if our egg challahs, I know, sometimes, you know, especially today, they don't, I don't know, maybe they don't put as much eggs. In the old days, an egg challah, you know, I used to ask how much, it seems like there's an awful lot of eggs in there. So maybe it's possible to kiss in the egg challahs, right? Even though that's not a problem, you know. We're not up to that. You're right. Hold on one second. You're right. Okay, we'll get to it in 1 second. So, according to what the Mechaber said, egg challahs, you taste the eggs, right? No? That would be possible because then. Okay, it's not the worst problem in the world, you know, Rav Moshe, with, you know, Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos that we just had. So that's the issue with egg matzahs, part of the issue. You know, if you don't have a problem with Ochel Matzah Erev Pesach with egg matzahs, because it's matzah shira, then you still have a problem. Can you use it for lechem mishnah? So Rav Moshe said, he explained that you can use pasabah bekisnin for lechem mishnah erev Pesach. Lechora, if you would use pasabah bekisnin on a regular Shabbos, you would have to eat 3 to 4 kabeitzim of it to be koveya suda. Maybe not. Maybe we don't know. What Rav Moshe said by erev Pesach is actually true on every Shabbos. So you could probably use pasabah bekisnin. But according to Mechaber, many of the challahs that we use are possible bekisnin. We don't paskin like that. According to the Ramah, that's because I remember asking many years ago, I assume it's true, that you can't make challah if more than 50% of the liquid ingredients is eggs. Okay, whatever. Just someone explained that to me once. So
it doesn't grow. The yeast doesn't work.
Okay. Good. Shkoyach. Glad you confirmed it. So the Ramah says, no, if it's only 40% other than water, mayim, it's not possible. Kisim, that's lechem gomur. Ela im kein yesh behem harbei tavlim advash kabinim etzika. Unless you have more than 50%, according to the Ramah, that's how we paskin, it's not just that the taste has to be there, but you have to have more than 50%. So taka, you have our cookies and things like that, I imagine. More than 50% of the liquid ingredients that are in there is something other than water. So that would be possible bekisnin.
There's a famous, again, Hungarian kokosh. Everybody knows.
Right.
But real Hungarian kokosh is like a real...
It's bread.
Challah bread.
Right.
And they just instead of making a challah, they roll in the cocoa with chocolate
right.
in it.
So what do
and
we call
it? Very often, it's mostly bread with a little raw.
So that's pasabah bekisnin.
Yeah, but the very little, I think, proportionate what you just read, it's more bread than
oh, yes. I thought that kokosh had so much.
They just roll it with the chocolate. But
then it's the first definition.
You mean that's 40%, more than 40%. You said 40%. No.
I have said more than 50% would be pasabah bekisnin.
But
the dough itself also has sugar.
No, this is completely the challah thing. They make challahs and they left the same dough they utilize for the
uh-huh.
I know for my mother.
Okay, so would it fit the first definition with the filling?
Just the filling, that's yeah. exactly.
So then it's the first definition. And there we don't deal with percentages.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
What I
right. Here, percentages is when it's in
exactly,
the dough.
All right. That's
when it's in the dough.
Because this is what came
right.
to my mind.
Because remember, you know, pizza, by the way, I mean, I only did two definitions.
Right, the pizza is, also
pizza is the first definition. That's pizza right. is the first definition. Even though it's not a filling as
that's
such. But, it's again, sometimes you know, the principle
yeah,
is the same. Is the fact that it's a filling important? No. But if the pizza fits in the exact same definition as an apple pie, if you think about it. Now, but what do we call, not the kokosh, what do we, the cake, it's very similar to kokosh. What? Babka.
Not the same family.
So
babka is
but babka, the dough.
Margarine is
but the dough in the babka has stuff already.
Has sugar and the margarine.
Right. So the babka is like this. Mm-hmm. So, but and I think the babka is more than 50%.
Yes.
Right, so babka also fits into this.
Definitely.
You see how, like in the pizza stores in Royal Park, you used to remember, we used to make the dough with the same dough that we make pizza, and we make sort of like these chocolate Danish. Same dough.
Okay, possible bekisnin.
Yeah.
Possible bekisnin. So let me read you now. Now that we got this down, should I take a second? I'll just, but this is Mizonos rolls. Mizonos rolls are made with apple juice. Okay, so that's the second definition is Mizonos rolls. Why Mizonos rolls is not good? Does not the way we use Mizonos rolls is not good? We have to wait for a later shear. Okay, you know when we use it in place of bread, it doesn't help. It loses definition of possible bekisnin, and it becomes lechem when we use it like that. But this second definition is what Mizonos rolls are. All right. Now let me read you, I want to reread you the Ramah, and I'll tell you what caused me a problem here. So listen again. So the Ramah is really being cholik on the Mechaber. When you have other ingredients with the dough, that's pas gamur, the way the Mechaber defined it, meaning that you just have to have the tam of the tarovet, even if it's less than 50%. And the Ramah says, unless Elim Kein Yeshbehem Harbe Tavlin, Otvash, Ke Mine Mesika, shekorim lekach. Lamed ayin kuf yud chaf. Sofit. Okay? So in other words, he's giving you an example here. He doesn't say 50%. He says harbe. But he gives you an example. The cookies that you're making now has to have as much other ingredients with the isa, like the sweet things that we eat called lekach. Now, I know what lekach is used all the time. What's lekach?
Honey cake.
But it's like honey cake. It's not. It's the darker cake. I don't like it. I don't know why. I never liked it. But you know that. So, are you telling me though that lekach? So what we get out of here is how much you need. You need more than 50%, like lekach. But is he saying that lekach is possible by kisnin? Because how is lekach made? Is lekach blila ova or blila raka? I think it's blila raka, right?
It's butter.
But it's blila, it's a batter, right. So that's why I always assumed that possible by kisnin was always blila ova, a dough. What's he talking about lekach? So he's not saying that lekach is possible to kiss them. He's just using lekach as an example for how much masika you have to make. But I'll tell you, I looked in some of the bracha books. They talk about cake as possible to kiss them. Now, I don't know. Either I'm missing something or they're missing something. I think they make a mistake here. They talk about cake with a blila raka as being possible to kiss them. And I think that's wrong. Okay.
What about ayakichel?
Oh, so the third definition is probably kichlin. So let's just do this and then we'll wrap up. For yesh mefarshim, the third definition, shupas, bein mituvelis with a tough tavlin, bein she'enu mituvelis. In other words, it might have spices in the isa, or it may not. It may be just plain dough and water. She'osin oso ke'ovin yeveshim. We had, remember in the Gemara, osim osam ke oven, right? With the lechem hasui lekutach. So if you make it very thin, like breadsticks, or bread, the flatbreads, okay? Vikosasim osam, how do you eat them? You know, you chomp away at them. You know, it's not something that you eat a lot of. It's you just chomp away at it. It's like a snack. Fehem hanekroim biskunis.
Biscotti.
That's right. Biscotti. Right. Biscotti is exactly this also. It's made in Europe.
Yeah.
Right.
Otherwise, mandelbread.
All of these kinds of things. What do you say? Kichel. I think kichel is like this. So kichel is also, it's a blila. Kichel is blila ova, right? No?
But the extra stuff is on the outside of kichel.
No, maybe the ingredients too. What? That I don't know. But the other things, breadsticks are obviously blila ova, right? So what bracha do you make on breadsticks? So, you know, many times you sit down even at a wedding sometimes, you have breadsticks there. Okay, you should wash at a wedding, but for some reason you didn't wash at the wedding, and you want to have a half a breadstick or something just to munch. Munch is the word, kosasim. Just to munch on. That's possible b'kisnin. Okay? All right? So what is the din of possible b'kisnin, by the way? So all of these things are possible b'kisnin, but how do you deal with them? So the prior sif said, possible b'kisnin mevorech olav bori mina mezonos. You make a mezonos on all of these things. V'li'achra bracha achas mayen shalosh. You make it ala michya. And here comes the important thing. Ve'im ochal mimeno shir shacherim regilim likvoa olav af al pishahu lo savei mimeno. If you're going to eat a large quantity of this possible bekisnin, and in a quantity that most people will be koveya suda, even though you yourself are not going to be saveya. And why is saveya important here? Because we discussed that. That raises it to the level of lechem levav enosh yisod. So mevarich olav hamotzi v'birkas hamazon. If you koveya suda, we'll have to define kviya suda. On possible bekisnin, it's like pas. Okay, so that's basically possible bekisnin. That's the beginning. We'll learn a lot more about it, Mirat Hashem, next week. Okay.
Thank you. started with one slice of pizza, and you don't have to wash.
We're not ready for